Revelation chapter 21. Let's stand for just a moment in reverence to the Word of God this morning. John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. They thought they were doing him a disservice. They thought they were punishing him. But they just squeezed him closer to Jesus. Don't you think that's about the way the world is today? Don't you think that's about the way the enemy is today? So many things he's got going on. He thinks he's punishing us. But I'm glad that many, many times I can say he's just squeezing me closer to Jesus. Notice what he said. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now that's what I'm going to concentrate on this morning. No more sea. We're preaching a message about no more. But I'm going to concentrate on that this morning. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. How many of you men in the building are married? How many, if you're married, would you raise your hand? How many can close your eyes and see your bride when they open the doors or wherever that was? You can see her start that long march down through there. I'm going to tell you what, it don't get much better than that. Amen. Unless you're like one old fella that I heard about, and the preacher married a couple. And the man said to the preacher, said, how much do I owe you, preacher? He said, oh, whatever she's worth to you. So he gave a preacher a dollar. About that time, said the woman throwed her veil back, and the preacher gave him 50 cents of it back. Amen. Now, that wasn't my bride. Say amen. Amen. I got a picture on my phone. I had to crop it because it had to do with putting that thing on her leg. You know what I mean? Maybe y'all don't know what I mean, but anyway, back in that day, you tried to do what was traditional to do. Amen. And that gets you in trouble sometimes. Amen. Back in that day, I wasn't a Christian. I sure wasn't a preacher. Amen. But I sure was in love with my beautiful bride. God said, when we see that holy city, He says, as a bride. Yeah. Boy, I believe it's going to knock our eyes. Yeah. Amen. Now, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I like new things, don't you? Amen. I don't have to have them, but I like new things. And boy, you wait till you see what He's got new for us. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Where we're going, there ain't going to be no dry riverbed with a hole in the middle of it. Bunch of people with buckets trying to get a drink of water. Amen. But thank God, that river flows from the throne of God. You can be seated. Father, this morning I pray in Jesus' name that You'd help us the next few minutes. God, just to be a blessing to our people. Lord, I pray that the service today will be a blessing to You. I wonder sometimes, Lord, if we remember that we're singing unto You. And that, Lord, we're worshiping You. And God, I pray today, Lord, that our hearts would be tender to Your will. I honestly, Lord, could say right now, if I couldn't experience anything else in the service, I could truly say from the bottom of my heart, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that each one can say that today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I got to thinking about this phrase a couple of weeks ago, this phrase, no more. And I got curious last night as I was just meditating and preparing for today's service. I got curious about when was the first time that that phrase was mentioned in the Bible. And so I looked it up. And it was mentioned in Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 15. God said, I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall, here's the phrase, no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So really in the book of Genesis, now there are no mores in the Bible that are kind of temporal no mores, but there are no mores in the Bible that are eternal no mores. Amen. And when the God said there'll be no more sea, that's going to be eternal. When he said no more, the flood was going to destroy the earth. The flood no more was going to do it. But there's coming another judgment upon the earth. I'd like for you, if you would, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 3, I believe it is. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And I'll just read this. This is just a little bit of introduction concerning this no more sea. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And I'll begin reading this morning in verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I believe this morning God is teaching us we ought to be looking for Jesus. We ought to be listening for the trumpet. We ought to be loving the Lord. We ought to be loving one another. We ought to be serving Him together. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that first mention of no more, beloved, is telling us the world would no more be destroyed by water. But it wasn't telling us that the world would no more be destroyed, because the next time it's by fire. The Bible said the earth shall melt with fervent heat. That would help us, beloved, in our daily lives. Some of the things we get aggravated over, if we just stand back and look at it a minute and say, one day it's going to melt with fervent heat. Amen. If we'd be more interested in the eternal things and less interested in those things that are temporal. God is helping us in the book of Revelation here. He's trying to paint us a picture of heaven. And we ought to be excited about about who is in heaven. Most of us here have loved ones in heaven. But honey, that's where our Savior abides. Amen. And we will not have to worship Him there by faith, but we'll worship Him there, beloved, listen, by sight. We'll have a new body, and we'll be able to look upon Him in all of His holiness, in all of His splendor, in all of His glory. But John is going to use some negatives under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand some of what heaven is going to be like. A photographer uses negatives to paint a picture. That's how he gets his picture started, amen? And our Lord here is doing the same thing. He's saying, I not only want to talk to you about what's there, but I want to talk to you about what's not there. And I don't know about you, but I can get excited about what's not there. I can get excited about a place where the funeral homes don't exist and where the Wilcox halls don't exist. I can get excited about a place, beloved, where the nursing homes don't exist. Amen. I can get excited about a place, beloved, where there's no war, no rumor of war, where there's no hatred in people's hearts, where there's no unkind words. In other words, there's a whole lot of things going on the earth that'll never go on in heaven. Amen. And I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart. But here in the scripture, we'll start this morning and perhaps come back tonight and talk about a few things. But I want to concentrate on this no more sea. When I first looked at it at face value, all you're thinking about, beloved, is the sea, literally the sea. And one of the things that, you know, around about the throne, the scripture said, is like a sea of glass. So it's not, that didn't say it was a sea, but like a sea of glass. There's a calmness, amen, about heaven, amen. There's no turmoil there. There's no things to upset there. And I think you'll understand some things today. I believe that when he says no more sea here, that the sea in Scripture speaks of turmoil. And I want you to think about the message today in light of world events and what's going on in the world today. In Luke 21, the Bible said there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You see, Jesus is making a parallel there between the distress and the turmoil in the nations to like the sea and the waves roaring. But then to John, when he introduces him, the great white throne judgment is over, and he introduces them to heaven, to the city, to the abode of God. He said, there's one thing I want you to know, John. There's no sea there. There's no more sea. The turmoil is over, amen, and the agony is over. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 20, the Bible said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. You've probably seen that if you've ever been to the ocean, beloved. Sometimes there's just a certain current that just stirs the bottom up and it clouds everything. Amen. It stirs up the mire. It stirs up the dirt. And he said, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up the mire and the dirt. I want you to see in verse number, in chapter 21 and verse number 26, the Bible said, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise, verse 27, enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. You need to understand this morning the importance of this phrase, no more sea. I'm telling you, if you're watching, beloved, and paying attention to what's going on in the world, there's a turmoil like we haven't seen in a long time. And I want to remind you this morning that it still holds true today. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And God said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. You say, Pastor, you don't know which side of that issue I'm on. I'll tell you what, if you're not on Israel's side, you're on the wrong side. I don't care, beloved, listen, what you think or what you're seeing in the streets of our cities as they protest, amen. I'm telling you, God has a people, and blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. But there's coming a day, thank God Almighty, where the Bible said, and so all Israel shall be saved. They're God's people, and God wants us to bless them, and God wants us to pray for them, and God wants us to be a help to them. And God help us in America if we don't do it. Amen. I believe with all of my heart it speaks of turmoil. Listen to verse 18 of Isaiah chapter number 60. Violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Aren't you glad this morning there's a place for God's people called home where there's no more sea, where there's no more turmoil, where there's no more war, where there's no more killing, amen, and fighting and things of that nature. I just looked up a couple statistics last night. Let me see if I can find it here, and I'll share it with you, beloved. I believe it's important. In Gaza, over 1,900 people have been killed, and more than 7,600 have been injured. In Israel, the death toll stands at more than 1,300. Another 3,227 people have been injured. You say, Pastor, those figures mean nothing to me. I'll guarantee you this. If it was your baby that they was holding, amen, behind enemy lines over there, it means something to you. I'll guarantee you this, beloved, if it was your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister, I'm telling you, beloved, God is trying to help us this morning. Listen, not only to look forward to heaven, but right now understand our responsibility to pray, amen, and do what we can, amen, in the turmoil that's going on in the world. Last weekend, 44 were shot. Two of them fatally in Chicago alone. You know what I thought when I saw that figure? I'm telling you what's the truth. Some of them need to move to Northeast Tennessee and let me teach them how to shoot. If I shoot 44 people, I guarantee you more than two of them's going to die. Say amen. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I'm just telling you the Bible talks about the violence that's in the earth. It's everywhere, amen. It's not just in Israel. It's not just in Palestine. But it's right here in our own states, the United States of America. If something don't happen, you can mark my word. Beloved, they're at each other's throats in Washington, D.C., if something don't happen, beloved, and some, God don't move and hearts and lives up there, I'm telling you, beloved, we're in a mess. And I'm just thanking God this morning that I'm a Christian, that I know Jesus, that when I die, heaven will be my home. If Jesus comes, I'm going to a place where there's no more sea. The waves are not going to roar. There's not going to be violence there. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 62, in verse number 4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezbollah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. This not only speaks, beloved, of turmoil, no more sea, but it's the sea that divides the continents, and many times divides the nations. And I want to give you something this morning. The nations of the world are divided. Not only nation against nation, but within the nations, there's a division. The Word of God said even in Jesus' day, there was a division among the people. Listen to these words. Because of Him. Beloved, Christ is a divider of men. He is a divider of men. Years ago, it was commonplace. It was very commonplace in the end of a revival meeting or a service for the pastor or the evangelist, whoever was preaching, to say something like this. Does anyone have a word on your heart? And my grandpa was preaching, and back then, the Methodists would come to the revival, and the Baptists would come to the revival. They all believed you must be born again. None of them believed the sodomite belonged in the pulpit. Amen. None of them believed a woman ought to be a deacon or a preacher. Amen. Back then, you couldn't tell the difference. Amen. They were just old-time Christians that loved God. My grandpa said this. He said, somebody have a word on your heart. I'll never forget it. Grandpa said there was a black lady stood up in the back of the church. And she said, I want to tell you white folk one thing. I want to tell you black folks, same thing. Either you is or you ain't. And she sat back down. Amen. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. Amen. You either have Christ in your heart or you don't have Christ in your heart. And what I'm trying to say is Christ is a divider of men. One of those thieves died to his sin that day because he looked over and said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. The other one died in his sin. Because he said, if thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die in sin. And because of Calvary, I'm not going to die in sin. There was a day when I died to it. Amen. In Christ. And I thank God for that. It speaks of division, the nations of the world. Let me give you this. Look at Revelation chapter 20, just a moment, please. Revelation chapter 20. The Bible said this, and I thank God, beloved. It said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. Verse number 1. Having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Notice verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations. Notice this. No more. Aren't you glad? Thank God that there's coming a day, beloved. Listen, there's no more sea. You say, Pastor, why is the division gone? Why is the turmoil gone? Because the one that's causing it all is gone. God said, beloved, here, he said that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be finished. And after that, he must be loose a season. You say, I want you to see the no more right there is a little bit temporary. In other words, he's bound for 1,000 years. And he cannot deceive the nations. You say, Pastor, why is this going on in the world? I tell you why. Because the nations are deceived. I'm going to say some things this morning. You're not going to like them probably. But that's okay. They need to be said. Let me give you something, beloved. You see that flag over there? We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Amen. Listen, to the Republic. Let's one nation. What's the next two words? Now let me give you this. You might not like what I'm going to say, but when that pledge was written, it wasn't one nation under the God of the Hebrews or under the God, amen, of Islam or under the God of Christianity or under the God of the Hindus. I'm talking about the God of heaven. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So America has opened its doors and become the melting pot of the world. I'm not against immigrants, beloved. Amen. I'm not against that. I believe it ought to have something to contribute to society. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, our nation is filling up with people that have no interest in pledging allegiance to that flag. And they're in the halls of our Congress. They hate us. They hate our Bible. They hate our Jesus. They hate our way of life. And beloved, you and I that are saved by the grace of God ought to be looking up towards heaven and shouting, thank God there's a day right on the horizon where there's no more sea. No more division. No more turmoil. The Bible said in verse 10 of that same chapter, Revelation 20, you say, Pastor, you said it was temporal. Yeah, he's going to deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years are finished. I'll never forget when God showed me this. I never was taught this. I just learned it as I was studying. Beloved, can you believe after 1,000-year millennial reign, Jesus is sitting on the throne of David? Can you believe there's peace for 1,000 years? The lion can lay right down with the lamb. A child can play on the hole of a poisonous snake, on the hole of the asp. Can you believe, beloved, there's no shooting and there's no stabbing. There's peace for 1,000 years. You want to know why? Listen to me carefully. It's not because everybody got their heart right. It's because Jesus rules with a rod of iron. They're doing what they're doing and there's peace because he said there's going to be peace. And he makes it peace. Amen. And so the devil is loose. What does he do? He goes through the four quarters of the earth. And what's he doing? He's gathering him up an army. Even after the end of the 1,000 years. You read your Bible. You study it. There's people that's going to follow that sucker. Amen. And come up against Christ and his people. And they're going to be destroyed once and for all. Amen. Spend the rest of their days in hell. The Bible said in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let me tell you something. I've been saying this for years, and nobody much is paying attention. But honey, the closer we get to His coming, the more the heat's going to be turned up. I'm telling you, beloved, Brother Jack, I believe God's going to separate them. Amen. There's the professors and there's the possessors. When the heat gets turned up, I believe the professors will run. Say amen. They're not going to stand. They're not going to stand for their preacher. They're not going to stand for their church. They're not going to stand for their Bible. They're not going to stand for the Lord because they have something in their mouth that they don't have in their heart. But those that have Christ in their heart, they'll never deny Him. They'd rather have their throat slit. They'd rather be burned at the stake or boiled in oil or put in prison than to say they never knew Him in the free pardon of sin. Oh, thank God this morning, no more sea. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him. And one Lord Jesus, by whom are all things, and we by Him. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 and 5, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You say, Pastor, you're awful arrogant. No, I'm awfully confident. I'm confident, Brother Joe, thank you for nodding your head, that when Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to know what's wrong? Not all that's wrong with America, but one thing's wrong in America. Men have quit preaching. I'm telling you, beloved, there was a day in America when pulpits made a difference in America. Amen. I'm telling you today, you and I that are God's people, you say, Pastor, there's been a lot of negative here. Yeah, God's painting us a picture of heaven. We're going to a place, if you'll get the negative, where there's no more sea. Amen. No more turmoil. No more division. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't know about you, that thrills me. Have you ever said something to somebody you wish you hadn't said? I have to my own precious wife. But when I get over there, there'll never be one unkind word roll off of these lips. Woo, glory. There'll never be one dirty thought enter this mind. Oh, you say, Pastor, you get excited about that? You better believe it, honey. You better believe it. Everything I think, everything I say, everything I do will bring honor and glory to the Lamb that gave His life for me. The hindrances will be gone. No more sea. You know, when I read that, till I got to study it, I just didn't understand the impact. No more sea. The Bible talks about, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about over there. It's right there in Revelation 22, I believe. But I want you to think about this. The Bible said in Psalm, I think it's 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, right? Well, let me ask you this. How good and how pleasant is it going to be for nations to dwell together in unity? That day's coming, beloved. No more sea. Amen. No more sea. I hope that I've not said anything that offends you, but I'll be honest with you. If I have, the problem's on your part. It's not on mine. When that Declaration of Independence was written and the Pledge of Allegiance was written, did you know that we're living in a country Now, it's not the majority, thank God. But we're living in a country where many would like to take those words, under God, out of the Pledge of Allegiance. I know how much money I've got in my billfold. I got two of them. It'd be dangerous to get out much more than that among Baptists. But you know, it says right on there, in God we trust. God's blessed America. He's young and singing. I've got so much to thank Him for. But I'm going to tell you something, honey. We're right on the tippy. We're on the tipping point. You mark my word. We're on the tipping point. God's people need to pray. We need to look forward to the day when there's no more sea. But we need to do what we can right now. How old's Olivia?
Eight.
That's bad when you got to ask how old your own grandchildren are, ain't it? Standing here singing. Did you see her bending her knees to get down there? Boy, she wanted to get right in there. Amen. When she gets to be 16, she'll run from it. Amen. But right now, she's running to it. What kind of country does Olivia and Claire are going to grow up in if we don't get some help? If we don't get some help, if we don't return to the book, if we don't return to the blood, if we don't return to the blessed hope of God's people, amen. Will you let those three words burn in your heart today? No more sea. Will you pray? I'm telling you right now, beloved, listen. You say, well, Pastor, they just going to be shooting them rockets. They just going to be shooting at each other. It ain't no big deal. Let me tell you something right now. You don't have to believe what I'm about to say. But Israel has capabilities. You say, Pastor, do you really think it could get bad? How about these words? World War III. In a heartbeat. You squeeze them youngins over there enough to where, and that's all that some people exist for, is to wipe them off the face of the map. They hate them. You squeeze them enough, and you see. Let me tell you something right now. I'm not worried about whether they'll be here or not. They'll be here when Jesus gets here. I done read my Bible. Say amen. There are going to be a lot of people get hurt. And before it's over with, if you don't know this, you might not like what I'm going to say, but America's weak. You really might not like what I'm going to say right here. But I found out this week that Israel, I think at age 16 or age 18, one, you've got to sign up for 2 years. That'd be good for America. That'd be good to take a 16 or an 18-year-old cell phone away from him, put him in boot camp. Amen. That'd be good for him. One young man got tired of his daddy's rules. He got tired of being told when to come in and where he could go and where he couldn't go. He told his dad, he said, I'm out of here. I'm going to join the Marines. No more sea. I'll ask you a question. When Jesus comes, are you going with Him? You say, Pastor, why are you guys out? Why are you out trying to tell people about the Lord? Why are you out trying to win them? Why are you out trying to invite them? I want them to go with me. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I want more than just you all to go with me. I want them to go with me. I want my family to go with me. I want my friends to go with me. I want America to wake up. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we come before the throne of God today, thanking you, Lord, for heaven, a place, our Father, where there's no more sea, no more turmoil, Lord. God, I do pray for America that, Lord, we will stand on the right side of Israel. I do pray, Lord, for the Palestinian people that are a part of the attack on Israel. God, I pray for the people of Israel. I pray, God, that in our country we would wake up. Lord, it concerns me. There are groves of people that could care less whether Israel exists or not. But Lord, there's no way that a person could be a Bible-believing Christian and not care about the people of Israel. God, I ask you now, stir in hearts today. There's not a doubt in my mind that right here in this auditorium, there's people, Lord, that's not ready to meet you. God, I pray today, you'll speak to hearts, speak to lives. I'm asking today, if you're here today and you love God's people, you love your country, you love the nation of Israel, if you can come to the altar and pray for them, if you're not able to, would you pray for them right where you are?